This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Alison Milden.
And I'm Vicky Marie Buchanan. So welcome, Alison. And last week when we were talking, you had returned to the Manawatu after your experiences overseas and you weren't happy.
No, I probably was suffering chronic depression. I just did not connect to New Zealand. But the main thing was I actually had just simply lost all my confidence. It was peculiar. There I had been overseas for 3 years, being independent, looking after myself, for good or for bad, came back to safe, secure New Zealand, and every bit of confidence evaporated. Anyway, I had to get a job, and I did accept a job that would have taken me on a completely new path, and in retrospect one could say I perhaps should have kept it. But on the same day that I accepted that job, that would have ended up with a law degree from Vic and potentially as a patent attorney or something in that line. On the same day I accepted, someone came back from Victoria University and told me someone had just handed in their notice at the library. Oh, perhaps they said I would be interested.
Right.
What did I do? I rang up. I went to see the deputy librarian. He said, no, it doesn't matter that you don't have library qualifications. You've got teaching qualifications. Look, this is where we put you on the salary scale. When can you start?
Right, right.
What did I do in that horrible situation of no confidence? I did the terrible thing and withdrew my acceptance of one job and went to work in the library. Boring, boring, boring. But lovely people
right.
that I worked with.
Right.
And the great thing that came out of that was on my first day I was put with this lovely person who had also fairly recently apparently returned from overseas. And to cut a long story short, she became my sister-in-law. You know, I look on it and say, wow, that was something fabulous
That
came out of a choice that perhaps I shouldn't have made. So I think it was another example of everything you do, one does in life, is one's own decision.
Yes.
Even the things that have been coerced, or you have ultimately made the decision. Which is not to say there are some people who are pushed to a limit of fear or whatever. So I won't belittle the fact that sometimes people don't have a lot of free will. But I've always considered that I have free will.
Right.
So I'm fortunate that I've been brought up in an environment that lets me have free will.
Right.
Even if I've made some silly decisions. So, in that not particularly good state, met somebody that meant I would be living in London. Wow, my favourite place in the world.
Right.
We got engaged. and off I went to London. And it did not end well, but it did end. And I stayed on in London, and while I was there, met my husband-to-be.
Right.
Who was interesting. So if I could say I had any ambition in life, it was to have an interesting life.
Right.
Of varied experiences.
You've had those.
And I said, I got them.
Yes, yeah.
I did not think marrying the boy next door was my cup of tea.
Right, right.
Not that there had been a boy next door.
No, no.
Anyway, so Doug and I eventually came to New Zealand, and though we had not planned on staying, we did. And I got a job at Massey and was there for 17 years.
Right, right. What were you doing at Massey?
Well, it all started actually with a temporary job in the information centre, which was only going to be for 2 or 3 months.
Right, right.
And then that morphed into the... was called the careers officer. So it basically was the student careers office.
Right, right.
So that was me. So that went on till 1999, and then it was restructuring. My job was split into two, and because of the fact it was changed so significantly, the university had to offer me voluntary redundancy.
Right. Mm.
And I had 6 months to make up my mind.
Okay.
And I made up my mind. I had had enough. I did not like the outcome of the restructuring. I couldn't work with the person who I had to work with.
This was when you was into the two jobs, the two separate jobs.
I made up my mind I was leaving, but I said nothing because I had 6 months.
Right.
And then the 6 months was up and I resigned.
Right.
Then went to Polytech, did some courses in IT. And then I had this hankering to go back overseas, which I did. I went alone. Doug was going to follow. He never followed because, in retrospect, I now know he was unwell.
Right, right.
And then I came back and I had no job. And I was offered a contract position down at Victoria Uni, which I took. Then, to cut a long story short, we're now up to 2002. Doug has a stroke. I try to juggle stuff.
Work and care. And,
yes. And he died in 2004. And I had just finished my contract. So, in a way, I was a free agent. And I decided to look at it like that.
Right, right.
That this ambition for an interesting life did not mean going back and putting myself forward for the permanent position that I'd just vacated a contract, that I wouldn't even apply for it, because once again, all my confidence had gone. What if I don't get it?
Yeah.
That would be the most devastating indictment on my capabilities and ability.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, it's this confidence thing. Anyway, but the other thing was, do I want to do that for the rest of my life? Good money, secure, if I get it, but no.
Right.
Had enough. Universities.
Yeah.
Had enough. So a friend and I did a brainstorm I took a year out and hacked, climbed trees, hacked sword branches, did all that stuff. And then a friend and I had a chat. What do we want to do with our life?
Mm.
We both decided, we both had wished we'd stayed in England.
Ah.
What could we do? Well, we could become live-in carers. So that was all an exciting period of life. It was a huge opportunity that I was looking forward to. Mm. And then it was interrupted by a wind farm application on the hills behind my house, and a landscape that meant Palmerston North has never meant anything to me. In a way, New Zealand has never meant like an abiding dedication to New Zealand. But this place, this view
here
from where I live was going to be destroyed with turbines.
Right.
By turbines.
Right.
So I got involved in the second big local protest. The first had been the Fitzherbert Avenue tree.
Oh, okay.
Which I had slept in.
Slept in the...
etc. to try and protect them from demolition.
Were they protected?
No.
Oh.
They went.
When was that?
They
was
probably,
that
they probably, the uproar, there was an uproar.
Mm.
It was a local uproar.
Mm.
And the mayor at the time said all of these protesters were just out of town, trolleyed in.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
There was such. But I made my name by swearing. Very loudly and very publicly at the CEO
of the City Council.
The City Council. Mm. So then began probably my annoying reputation of years and years on the regional plan review, years and years on the district plan review, trying to get provisions that protect the beautiful, free, public places and spaces.
Mm.
And they can just be views.
Yes, yes.
Vignettes, panoramic, whatever.
Mm.
And if one succeeds with this local, regional and local council, other people in other areas have something to go on. So it was caused by local for me.
Right.
But it was not local in my ultimate desire.
Right, right.
Because I realised if you're district or regional plan has no provisions that you can grab in a consent hearing, you're lost.
Right, right.
You can bring in every expert, but there is no protection whatsoever. So that consumed me and stopped me for 4 years from doing anything overseas.
So did you hear about this overseas when you were overseas, that you came back?
No, I came back from my first stint doing the live-in caring. Mm. The objective was that I had a 5-year kind of plan. How much time did I have to be where to make enough to live,
right,
but still be able to keep my house with the view.
Right, right.
with the view. And that got stopped in its tracks.
Right, right.
Because of
right.
the wind farm consent application. And that drags on for years. What you find out is it goes on for years. That one led to another one, the Turitea. And, the, as I said, the two planning reviews, which was not specifically to do with wind farms. So, yeah.
So has that finished? Has that cause, has the...
Well, there's nothing left to try and save. It's all gone. And the bit that did get saved almost by accident, a bit of business over the Turitea wind farm, that glorious piece of unique hill skyline was saved, but it was temporary.
Right.
Because what we didn't count on was that policies were going to mean that people could grow pine forest plantations just about anywhere they wanted to.
Right, right.
And so that view has gone into a pine plantation. I'm not quite sure which is worse.
Yeah.
I actually think that at least wind turbines would have left the view with wind turbines.
Yes, yes.
The pine trees have lost the lot.
They'll become pine trees. How old are they? Are they 20, 10?
No, you can see them. They were done extremely well, so that they've grown fabulously fast.
Yeah, as they do. Yes. Yeah.
And the pine needles in my property will be horrible, because I already get them from a few little stand of pine trees.
So
what have I learned from all this? I've had the opportunity in life to make my own decisions. And I take responsibility. If the outcomes were not great, that's because I got into it in the first place. The important thing is to come through and not have it ruin your life and make you miserable for everybody else. I've also realised that those choices, from my standpoint, have meant that whatever I've done, even if it's not because it was ambitious to climb a ladder, whatever I've done, I've given it my absolute all, possibly to an extreme. But again, that was my doing. And that if I've given it my all and it hasn't gone my way, I'm not full of blame, antagonism. I did my best.
Yeah, yeah.
And didn't succeed. So how can you complain? You might still think bad things. You might still think things of particular people that you feel have done wrong. But you're not going to lose sleep.
No. What's become, you know, we started, when we first started talking, right at the very, very beginning, the little girl that was shy and very, very quiet with no confidence. And I'm hearing a very confident lady that's out there climbing trees and fighting for causes and doing so much care for people in the community as well. Where would you rate that confidence in yourself now?
That's hard, because I I have to be pushed into, no, I have to self-propel because what I'm doing, I think I need to do. So the confidence comes because something arises that I have to forget. I can give you an example. I always wanted to have the confidence to do something theatrical.
Right.
So I think that inside me is a drama queen.
Yeah. Drama person.
But I never had the confidence to do that. But if I come across something that I'm doing or going to do, I put that into it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. The thought is, am I hearing that the thought is more lacking, you know, more intimidating than actually when the cause is there in front of you, that you've got the passion to follow through and fight for the cause.
But I have to think it's something worth fighting.
Yes.
That's the impetus.
Yes.
It's something I think needs to be fought for.
Yes, yeah.
Or that if you're in it, if it's a job, whatever the job is. So, for example, I went in the middle of all the regional and district planning and wind farm stuff. I was not earning any money. And so I went to do shift work at Somerset, which is very poorly paid.
Yes, I've heard
but
that.
But it was some income. Now, that's a hard job.
Yeah, it is.
I give it my all. Even for a pittance.
Yes.
And I look and I see I've got a house, I've got safety, I've got security, and I'm working with people for whom this is totally necessary for them to survive financially. They've got families to go home to. They've got notes to write. So at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock, I can't remember, 3 o'clock, the shift finishes. If they haven't done their notes during the work time, they can't get away at the end. But nor can they be scurrying for all the bells that are ringing.
Yes.
So I'd say my life's my own.
Yes.
I don't have to do my notes during that time. I can answer the bells. I can do X. I can do Y. And then I'll do my notes in my own time.
Yes.
Don't get paid for it. You might feel a bit annoyed with the system that means this is the only way you can do the good job. Either neglect the most important part of your job, which is the caring, to write notes that work. Completely pointless.
Yes, yeah.
A checklist at the beginning of everybody's folder to say these are the important things that have cropped up for this person. No, we had to write notes on 13 different topics about each person that we'd been given responsibility for. So, and then I came back to Somerset for a job in the village. And it turned out, mostly, it was cleaning.
Ah.
I gave it my all.
Yeah, good on you.
I don't care if I clean.
It's equally important.
I don't care if I clean.
Yeah.
I'm not going to clean forever and ever. And in the meantime, I give some time to the people who live in those villages.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean, equally as important. So wherever you've been, whatever you've done, Alison, with really amazing experiences, you have made a difference to people, and you have brought...
I find that hard to accept that I did. I know you're right.
Yeah, you have.
But I couldn't say to you, oh, I think I've made some really good differences to some people's lives.
But you
have. Because there are people that I have probably hurt, and people who... So, what do you do? It's a bit like in the job at Somerset, every 6 months you had to do a self-assessment. You filled out forms, self-assessment, and you graded yourself. And the manager did the same thing. And then you submitted your assessment, and then you had a meeting to discuss it. I can't remember. I think it was 1 to 6. I'd never grade myself as more than 3, except on communication, I gave myself a 4, because you can always do better. How can I say of myself, I've done 6?
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.